I'm at a loss of words for the first time. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about cloud and certifications. And then I was just relating that to how, since we were going to be talking about AI anyways, I mean, all of that's just, that's where the future is headed. Everything is moving up into the cloud, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, mega data centers of cloud service providers like Amazon and Microsoft and Google. You know, they just buy up these big data farms globally, and now you just want to store all your stuff with them instead of having to manage your own data center. So that's just the future. But then it's also, okay, AI is now the future. AI is here. And then capitalism and just, yeah, all of that. How does all that tie together? It's like, it's just got my mind going in a bunch of different directions, because I'm just like, man, what does it mean for humanity with all of this stuff accelerating the way that it is right now? Like, it's really, it's exciting, but it's also a little bit scary.
Yeah, it is scary because a new season is here. And, you know, this is one of those moments where adaptation is a must. The first thing I think of when I think about what does AI represent, what's coming off the horizon with AI here, is just straight up jobs. And like some of the things I've seen, and anyone that's following ChatGPT and Midjourney and all of these new AI vehicles, you know, what's the first thing you see in a response to that? How are artists going to get paid going forward? How are junior programmers and the software development industry, how is that going to, you know, how is that going to be affected by AI? And I think, you know, up until like very recently, telling people, especially people with kids, hey, get your kids to learn how to code, or coding is something that, you know, a lot of people can start to pick up. And all of a sudden, now we're seeing reports and people making statements online that, okay, right now it's in the rough draft stages, but at some point AI is going to be able to whip up some code that's just going to completely replace a lot of programmers. That's a disruption that I'm not sure a lot of people are prepared to deal with.
Right. And not just programmers, it's also writers, it's radiologists, you know, people with very high specialties who go to school for years and years, and you know, they're very well paid positions. What happens when you can have AI that just can diagnose something better than a doctor who's been at that practice for decades, when you know, AI is more trained to do it, either do it just as well or faster? And so it's like, you're not gonna say like, oh, radiologist or whatever. I mean, that's a very well paid, respectable, prestigious, requiring a lot of high skilled jobs. So what do you do when radiologists are out of a job? What do you do, you know, software developers who are well paid also are out of a job? What then happens when these high skilled positions, you don't need humans to do them? Where do these high skilled people go? What use are they in, you know, the capitalist framework? You're not able to produce. So what do we do with you then as a person?
You are obsolete. There's a Twilight Zone episode where it's some dystopian future society, and the guy gets dragged in because he's a librarian and he's still trying to get people to be open-minded and read books. So as they like march him off to his punishment, it's like, you are obsolete. Everyone's like pointing fingers, you are obsolete. But yeah, that's what's going on. You know, AI is about to make a couple of situations, you know, it's just about to be like the newspaper, like the poor person that spent all their years honing their craft as a writer in a newspaper. Then bam, blogs come out and people are like, I can write my own article. What are you talking about? So same thing. You're going to have to see a level of adaptation that takes place here. Adaptation. The
AI would correct that for you.
Yes. Yeah. You're not even talking to me. You're talking to my avatar.
Right.
But yeah, so you have that. And I think there's a macro point to it, but from a micro perspective, you're going to have to, I feel like people that are in knowledge-based scenarios like coding or, you know, arts or even digital art that they were working with on Photoshop and stuff like that, or other things, writing copy and things like that. If that's your thing, you have to make a change. And I think the change you need to make is in branding. you need to make it where people know that AI is an option and people are aware of how effective it is, but they're choosing to do business with you because they want to do business with you. So I think a lot of personal branding or professional branding and making it where it's not about AI, it's about working with you, you know, would be one of the ways people can kind of counter that. When it comes to things like coding, you know, you gotta just be aware of the deficiencies, but you also gotta start thinking about, you know, other paths. You know, can I become a project manager? Can I manage, you know, implementation of some sort of project or some sort of app? And you also need to think about ways in which you can stay relevant right now as you, you know, start to figure your transition.
Is like maybe you have to become an AI manager. Is you learn to manage the AI. Number one, try to, like you said, brand yourself and bring the human touch back into it, but then also be the owner of the AI and the manager of it. I mean, because right now it's not really to the point yet. And I mean, that's changing rapidly. Like literally we'd be saying something different, you know, a couple of months to a couple of weeks from now. It's not to the point where it can do all this stuff on its own. Like you're not just gonna like, you know, press a button and try to write an article and the article comes out completely perfect and it's ready to go. It still has to be edited. It still has to be fact checked. You know, it's not to the point where it's 100% perfect. And same with code. It can write some pretty good code, but a really great programmer will be able to see, oh, this can be refactored better. You know, use this instead of that and put that together. So it'll give you the raw basics. And then someone who's really knowledgeable, who knows what they're looking at, can then come and kind of sew it together into something better. So right now it's more of a collaborative effort with AI. But again, once AI surpasses that, once it, you know, the machine learns, the machine learning gets to the point where it says, oh, okay, I can write an entire article that's factually correct, has great tone, isn't redundant, you know, sounds like it was written. When you get to the point where you can't tell when a person wrote it versus an AI, when it's apples to apples like that, and you're just like, I could tell you, you know, if a human wrote this or a person wrote it. I mean, what my concern is just really genuinely, what do you do at that point? Because if you're a business owner and you need to hire writers or developers or whoever who can do the same thing as an AI can do, it's going to save you money to just buy a, you know, have one person who can press the buttons or, you know, code the buttons that get pressed to then generate the content or the code that you need. What do you need people for? And that's the part where it's like, okay, we have to start thinking about the ethics behind it. What are you going to do when you have one person who can do a job, whereas before you had a team of like 10 or 20 people? What do you do at that point? Humans still exist.
And then in comes universal basic income. Is that's supposed to be the solution in this scenario, right?
I don't know. Is it? I mean, that's why it gets to the whole point, the whole question of capitalism. Like, can capitalism survive at the point where AI gets to the level where it can just displace humans? Capitalism is built on producing. It's built on producing products and services. If you cannot do that, if you're a human and AI is doing all this instead of you, you're not needed. You're literally not needed in capital. You're not useful. So how do you live? How do you get money to then be a consumer and add to the economy? Whoopsie.
I don't know. Yeah, somebody goofed. I saw an article where a CEO, of course I should have this stuff right by my fingertips, but I saw an article where a CEO said that he felt that AI businesses that are using, you know, AI to, you know, automate and become more efficient, these companies will make so much money that they will be able to provide UBI, and basically their income would turn around and pay a portion of the population, or, you know, whatever the deemed working population. I think the number was somewhere around $13,500 per year, which is, it's not balling, but, you know, that's what I saw.
So, and I said that those companies would be able to, now that will they though? Because a, you know, kind of unofficial component to capitalism is greed. So just because you can, will you? I don't know. You know, human history doesn't really bode too well for that being the case.
Yeah, I felt like there was a lot of smoke being blown up somewhere when I read that. But as always, that payment will be financed by us, the taxpayers. So they'll probably, you know, it will probably be some sort of, I don't know, weird back and forth funding loan tax write-off scenario that allows them to pull that off. That's not the first time I saw that. I've seen other, you know, one of these like FANG or other, you know, high level situations. And these, one of their leaders would say something to the effect of, you know, UBI is actually necessary in order for us to continue going down this path, especially as, you know, AI starts to grow and these jobs go away, because we got to have something or someone to sell to.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of interesting, though. So they're agreeing that you need it. It's like it's going to become a necessity as AI gains more and more predominance. So then you're just paying people to buy more stuff like that. It's like here's money so that not just so you can keep the roof over your head and put gas in your car, or, you know, electricity in your car or whatever, but so that you can go buy an iPhone. Like, I mean, you're getting universal income to buy useless stuff. Is that what it is? I mean, I get it to live, but beyond that, I mean, so that you can keep money circulating by buying stuff you don't really need.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's definitely a lot more, like it's been implemented in some areas, but you know, in this country, the size of population and the differing, you know, political viewpoints and things like that, it's going to be a hard, it's going to be something really difficult to pull off to make it work. Because first of all, if we go with the number I previously quoted, 13.5, that's not going to work. So that's number one. So the thought process is they're going to work a, you know, a part-time job at, you know, Arby's or something else while they're getting this, you know.
You won't even have that. They have this thing called Flippy that I forget who was, like White Castle or somebody somewhere is already using, and it's cooking the burgers and like it's displacing fry cooks. It's a machine already making the burgers.
They're
so
already,
so yeah. now you can't even get a fast food job. So it's like what job will you get? That's I really feel like there's gonna have to be, like, we're in for a whole like seismic shift on like what it even means to be human. Like, we're really gonna figure, I mean, it just puts me at a loss for words, because I really feel like it's something big that's gonna have to happen as a whole of like everyone globally to figure out, okay, what are we doing? Like, what's our place in this world? What are we doing? What do we want to do now that we've figured out automation? Okay, where does that put us? It's like we're just gonna have to reconfigure the whole system.
Well, there's always trades and you know, HVAC, plumbing, escalator installer, elevator fixer, you know, those things aren't going away anytime soon. So those are difficult jobs, and they definitely, you know, are more on the physically demanding side, but you know, those are pathways that are available. And you know, this might be part of the shift in paradigm that a lot of people need to start to take when it comes to what's, you know, happening. You know, I look at it from a perspective of, you know, what do you tell a young person, you know, what to do nowadays? You know, a knowledge-based job for the first time is under threat of going away, you know, and it's like, you know, you might need to start thinking about some other ways to make money that you don't have to compete against a machine, you know? So I think that's like the discussion that a lot of people need to start having, especially with their kids and just, or in general, if they're in their, you know, their mid 20s and things like that, or, you know, got to go the business route or, you know, sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what the future looks like. I mean, I'm sure our parents could have imagined the future looking like what it looks like now. It's like, who's to say? But yeah, I mean, what I would like the future to look like, I'll be very honest, is I love that show, The Orville. And I wish we could, even though it's like a kind of comedy sci-fi show, I really wish we get to the point where we were, you know, spacefaring species. And, you know, I think in the concept of that show, there's like, they don't even use money anymore because they've just like figured out how to make whatever resources they need. So it just all becomes about like exploration and just, you know, going out and living life and figuring out what you want to do and just doing it. And it's not because you have to make money at it. You're just interested. And that would just be I feel like that would just be such a fun way to live. So I'd love it if in my lifetime or our lifetimes we got to that point. But I feel like what's happening now could push us to have to do something like that. Like instead of it being like, oh, well, now you should consider being an HVAC tech. Like maybe it goes even beyond that. Like consider being an astronaut, you know, like consider like working on the next project to get to Mars. You know, it's like maybe it like bumps you up that much further to like have to like push ourselves farther ahead.
Yeah, that would be a nice life to live, you know, kind of focused on, you know, seeing how far you can grow, personal development, personal challenges, sites, places to visit. That would definitely be, if that is the final version of this when it all plays out, then yes. But you know, do these things ever play out on such a good high note? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is it's like you don't want to go too depressed and macabre about it. It's like you want to. So, I mean, on the positive side, there's lots of good that could come from AI. So what one thing you'd hope is that it could, you know, unlike that movie Eagle Eye where, you know, or any other AI movie where it just immediately decides to just terminate humanity. Like, if on the plus side, it says, hey, guys, here's how you can, you know, be more efficient. Like, here's how you can conserve your resources, or, you know, it helps us figure out how to live better lives. If it genuinely is like, here's how I can help you. And then we implement it and it helps us. And then it's like, okay, now try this and just up and up and up. And maybe it helps us figure out the whole, like, maybe it can do all these complex models and, you know, going out into the future and being like, okay, well, if you take X, Y, and Z steps, 90% likelihood of this outcome. And then we follow those instructions, you know, so here's how you can figure out the whole capitalism thing or UBI or whatever. That would be cool. Like maybe we can put it to use for figuring out genuine world problems, you know, hunger and disease and all that. So I'd like to think that we'll put it to good use. I mean, I don't know.
I definitely think it'll be, you know, put to good use. However, you
good
know,
humanitarian like, use.
Yeah, I definitely think there will be a humanitarian component to how it will play out and how AI is used on a global scale. But, you know, these things get funding for a reason because they're trying to, you know, 5X that funding back. And they're, you know, the investment and the time and all of this, you know, with ChatGPT, this open data, this open time frame that we have to have access to it. You know, they're just using, you know, us to source more data in terms of our patterns and how we plan to use it so that they can make the final version, the commercial version, or the next iteration for sale. And at the end of the day, it's going to be a for-profit, you know, model that determines how AI is used as a whole. But, you know, there are some for-profit industries out there or non, you know, that work with not-for-profit scenarios that will use capitalism for a good as well too, but it'll probably reflect the same percentage of how things go down now.
Yeah, well, that's a good point you make about it being, you know, it's open now for the information gathering to just help it be built better and accelerate better, and then it'll be you know, package deal that, you know, probably to the highest bidder. But if it could if it stays open like this, or some, you know, someone else can copy it and provide the same thing, I mean, that alone, that changes a whole bunch. I mean, not just for kids like trying to whip up an essay real quick, but I mean, just for, you know, genuinely trying to source information that you need instead of, you know, doing, I don't know, 30 minutes worth of Googling, you could find out in 2 minutes. I mean, that would be revolutionary for everyone. It's as revolutionary as the internet being available to just about everyone. You know, having that level of knowledge at your fingertips that fast, that's revolutionary. That would be amazing if someone could find a way to open source it and keep it free.
You know, So now we're getting to some of the stuff I just want to just, you know, unload. Like, I cannot understand how ChatGPT and, you know, to a lesser extent, like the digital art ones, like Midjourney, but, you know, something like ChatGPT, I cannot put into words how it's changed everything, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like Google has been a part of my life, just Googling, right? Has been a part of my life forever. And now it's like, it got demoted.
It got, right, which is the blows your mind even thinking that's possible, right? You're like, what would supersede like Google, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, nah. Ask Chat. Now, the only thing it Google has on it right now is that it's still relevant data. So I need the weather. Is the pizza spot open? Mm-hmm. You know, what happened to my stock? You know, did it go up or down? You know, so it has that timely information. But if I'm just looking for a straight up, okay, what's the best way to talk to my kid's coach about, you know, making sure they're better prepped for the next game? Yeah, Google can't do that.
Yeah. No. And I think also, I mean, one thing to keep in mind going forward with the AI thing is very much the human component. So, you know, you see these stories now of like Gen Zers are going back to using flip phones. Yeah, so, you know, you wouldn't have seen that coming. You're just like, what? Your flip phones are back again now?
Yeah.
Why? So it could be like the next generation or even, you know, one or two after them. They don't want AI, even though AI is this amazing thing. You could have people who are like, hey, nice, shiny, flashy new. Come on, get this AI. And they're just like, nah, don't want it. Want to go back. I just want to go camp in the woods or something. Like, what if there's just this complete cultural shift away from that just because they're like, I want a childhood again. I want to not be so connected. I want normal relations with people. You know, what if that unforeseen human little quirk comes into play? That'd be funny to see.
You know, I hope that there is some sort of return to, you know, stepping away from, you know, internet and things like that. I don't have much faith in that happening, but I do hope for something like that. I think a lot of people, especially, you know, people that grow up with, you know, phones from day one, I think they just look at it, it's a singularity. They just look at it as a part of them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, people will, yeah, if you took a phone and, you know, and threw it into the water, you know, somebody, 1 out of 10 is going to jump in that water for that phone, you know?
There's always going to be, yeah, no, it's definitely not going to go away. There's always going to be people, especially ones who are like, okay, I'll take advantage of it. If you're not going to do it, I'll do it. There's always going to be that. But I wonder if there will just be like a big enough of a swell of people who are just like, no, don't want to participate, who just choose to opt out, that it has enough of an impact to where it doesn't blow up as big or take as much of a hold as we kind of predict it will. I mean, humans are crazy. It's like, you know, it's a free for all. You don't know what's going to happen at this point.
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be another thing. It could be a scenario where it's like region locked. Like, you know, AIs and businesses in this part of the world, but not in this part of the world. And it's almost like, you know, you already got this whole movement of people that are looking to explore options out of the country. And, you know, if someone fell into both, they were already thinking about leaving and they were not down with the AI crew, you know, they might say, well, you know what? I want to go back here. I want to go here because this is a way for me to kind of digify myself and get to, a return back to Genesis moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't say that I wouldn't be considering that myself. I might be like, at least take a visit, a vacation there often.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll just, you know, ask ChatGPT, when's the best time of year to go off the
right? Please come up with an itinerary for me. Thanks.
Make it say 85 and sunny. Yeah, so awesome. Thank you for stopping by, Ebony, again. We made it happen again. Tekker Dye is doing his thing.
Yeah. It's always fun. I love these conversations.
subscribe to Tech or Die so you'll automatically get a notification when the newest episode drops. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and most podcast directories. Wherever you are in this world, remember one thing: success is a choice.